Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat live from Gamescom 2018. I'm Dustin Laguerre, your host, joined by CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And today we got to play a new map. We got to see a presentation behind closed doors all about Forsaken. But first, don't forget, this publishes first on IGN.com and then one day later on YouTube. CJ, let's talk about the presentation first. At E3, we got to play through the Forsaken mission where we see the fate of Cade, and this expanded that.
It did.
Pretty neat stuff, right?
Really good. And it's a cinematic trailer. So for the most part, it's one of those things where, oh, look at this. We have a couple guys that we're hoping are going to get in Forsaken when it comes out. Probably not, especially PC Doug. He's just in it for moments, actually. It's basically a cinematic trailer with Cade in it. And honestly, once you get a chance to see Cade put up a fight, I think that was the thing for me as a hunter. Mm-hmm. You really realize he is outnumbered in this situation. And the amount of times I kept thinking he was going to come back, like, oh, he uses a super. Oh, gosh, he's down again. Yeah. Oh, he's going to come back and maybe not. And it was really, really good. There was highs and lows throughout the whole trailer.
So what I latched onto is just seeing the hunter toolkit on display.
Yes.
It was a CG cinematic. So getting to see Cade actually using everything that every hunter can use.
Yeah.
He tried to pop his golden gun once, and that was interrupted. Threw his blades instead. You got to see the trip mine in there.
Yep.
He used his knife a lot. That was really cool.
He did.
And, man, he has that one line about his son, about the gun.
Yeah.
Says he's coming home.
Yeah, I remember. At the van, and that was there were emotional moments in there, and it wasn't very long, but it is one of those things, because you know Cade's fate, and they're obviously leaning into that. Every moment now you see him experience it at any point, regardless, I think, you know, if you're walking into the game or if you're doing a cinematic cutscene leading up to it, your brain is thinking, oh, these are my last engagements with Cade. And it's really powerful. It's really well done.
I really, really enjoyed that aspect of it. Later on, we got to go play the new map, Kell's Grave.
Yes.
And that takes place on the reef or in the reef area.
Yep.
And we got to fight Fallen, which was nice. So it was Gambit yet again, taking on other opponents. I did not win on PC. It was pretty rough. My teammates, I don't think they played on PC before.
No.
I did okay. I had like 9 kills, I think, on the enemy side and 58 overall. I'm proud of my stats.
Yeah, there you go. You did good.
You played over on PS4 because you're a controller guy.
So I played on PS4, but I also did get a chance to play on PC with a mouse and keyboard, and I am still terrible with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
But I will say, just playing it on PC, buttery smooth.
Yeah.
And just like looking at the skybox, I actually sat there a couple times and like panned around. You can see the Drifter's little machine area or like the landing area that you're in before you load onto the map. So little details like that in the background are really cool, but super awesome on PC.
Yeah, and this map, it had a lot more platforming sections that you can kind of jump on and utilize if the Primeval has tried to knock you off the ledge, for example. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was really cool. I got a chance to talk a little bit with them about behind the scenes about what the reason why they didn't choose to have that map as the first playable map at E3, just from a you know, a learning standpoint, a bit more difficult. It's a larger area map. Yeah, there's basically pits you can be knocked off. It was cool how the portal actually had traversal mechanics that allowed you to get to the other parts of the map quickly. But yeah, there's moments where I think even the amount of primevals and blockers and all that stuff that I spawned, there were moments where I actually was like, oh my gosh, there's too much fire. What's going on? And then they did throw me off the map a bunch of times. So,
yeah.
But really
yeah.
fun.
I had that same issue also. It seems like they've really balanced things out. The weapons are starting to make sense for me now that I've played it a few times at a few different events. And and I'm still liking Gambit a lot. I can't wait to get in there with a team, a really good crew, and just wreck other players, or at least have a really good face-off. I like close games, you know,
where
it's like 1-1 and then the winner's decided.
Yeah, and I did have that when I played on my PlayStation game. We won the first one, and then they came back, and it's like there's a strategy that just worked well, and they beat us the second game, and the third game it was back and forth where we both had our primevals out, so we were invading. When you get to that point in the game mode, it really has the best of what Gambit has to offer on display. So those, I think, like when you get a chance to have teammates that you play with regularly that have different roles, if you're a, you know, PvP guy or PvE guy, that I think is going to really allow each person to, play specifically how they want to play, and you're going to be able to have a team dynamic, I think will be really fun. So.
Yeah. It was great getting to see everybody from Bungie. Hey, everybody, if you end up watching this show.
Yeah,
you actually got some one-on-one time. I had to do some production stuff, but you got some one-on-one time with Scott?
Yeah, Scott Taylor. He was talking a little bit about everything, just, you know, they're 10 days away from the launch. You know, it's coming up. They're all really excited. Obviously, there's a lot of things that he was discussing that they've implemented. You know, that were maybe not necessarily mistakes, but were learnings. They kind of just said, you know, even scannable items, and I'm going to play the interview after, but the lore stuff, they really felt like they missed out on that. There was the scannables in the game. They're like, you know, people wanted to have these things, you know, archived somewhere where you could actually access it later. So I do feel like there's a lot of things that are like going, hey, we want to make sure that we do this version of it right. And I think that, I'm excited for what they have to offer based on having the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. One more small thing. Don't forget, Gambit is going to have a 24-hour trial for anybody that wants to check it out on September 1st at 10 a.m. So that goes for 24 hours, and you can check it out for yourself.
Yep.
But now let's just play your interview with Scott.
Cool.
Take it away.
What's up, everybody? It's CJ along with... So what's your official title again? What's
my official title?
Yes, the official title. Besides Shake Shack...
I like Shake Shack. My official title is I am right now the project lead of Destiny 2 Forsaken.
Project lead Destiny 2 Forsaken. All right. Roll into that.
I know
you didn't do it on purpose. I know you didn't.
Well, no, we did do it on purpose. Well, what are you talking about?
You guys did, but it wasn't you directly. Oh, okay. Let's ask this question
Bat. I know who it was. I was in the room.
Okay.
I was fine with it.
I'm going to start this a little bit differently now.
I was totally okay with it. No, I you're already going, so you can do this like a Marc Maron episode where
it
starts like
in,
it just
in
starts
the
and they're like, oh, I guess we're starting.
Let's do it.
Well, Mark, no, I remember very distinctly when we came up with that, and I know who did, but I won't reveal it because I don't want that person to get, you know, flamed or something. He actually asked me to not, and so I would, because it was a great idea. Because it was solving a problem that we had, which is that initial hook.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it was like, well, what if we killed a character? And it, you know, and then it was like, Petra, no, like, who cares? And it's not who cares, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. Well,
it's not that same resonance.
We love Cade. Absolutely.
Yeah, we love Cade. And so, and that opened up a whole, like, kind of rich vein of story that kind of infused, you know, what kind of bosses we have, what the destination's like. Oh, I guess it's kind of a western-y revenge thing. And, like, so committing to that really early in the process really helped us tell the whole story. And then now it's like, well, what would the story be without that like kind of kickoff?
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
Well, I was going to say, we had that conversation on Fireteam Chat. I don't know if you saw it.
Which one? I've seen every.
Oh,
seen
there
every
you go. I appreciate
well,
that.
Well, I listened to that.
So we, so you don't see us, but Stephen Rue said, you know, I mean, I want to feel something. And I'm not saying I'd want Cade to die, but if Cade
I do remember that. No, so I was listening to that in my car.
Okay.
And I laughed and I rewound it because I was like, because I knew, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was that last spring? That was before we revealed it,
yeah,
right?
That
it was, right before.
Yeah, it was like a month before.
Yeah, it was right before. So I do I do remember that. And I was driving, and because I listened to it all the way home, and I was driving home, and I remember exactly where I was, actually, when I heard
interesting.
That. Because it was very funny.
And
I mean,
so what was your take once you heard that? You're like, going...
No, I was... my take on that was that was good, because it meant that people were going to react. And so the thing that... I mean, I think a lot about the fact that we led our kind of discussion about this with a story moment. Like, if you think about the history of Destiny and the perception of Destiny, that's like pretty interesting, right? And the fact that people really responded to that is something that we were excited about. So when you guys were, I can't remember if you guys were speculating about what you thought it would be about or whatever, or what Destiny needed to do, what it was. And so that was very funny to me, just because I knew what we were going to be revealing very soon.
So we didn't influence the whole next DLC month before. Okay.
We did not start production on the DLC in May. That would have been bad.
But I mean, we're excited, obviously. So now we'll officially start. I'm here with Scott Taylor, project lead, Destiny 2.
Forsaken.
Yes. And we are super excited about the game. You guys have revealed a fair amount. We're only about, 10 days away?
Yeah.
Here at Gamescom 2018. We just got done watching a little trailer that is coming out very soon.
Now, I don't know when this is airing.
This is airing Friday. So you're safe. You're safe. We're airing this Friday.
So what'd you think?
I mean...
So they've seen it now.
Yeah. I'm a hunter. So for me, it's super emotional. Because it's the same way when we played the Behind Closed Doors at E3, the first mission. You're just now... You know the inevitable. Mm-hmm. You're waiting. And it's the same thing with this trailer. You're like... Oh, and then there's those moments where you're like, okay, no, he's gonna. Oh no! Like when you.
I will say, you guys had given that feedback, and some other people had too. And that is not something. That is something we've heard, but it's an example of something where that was not a part of the design, was to make you go.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's interesting, that it adds a layer there that we were not anticipating. That's really interesting.
Well, I feel like Cade is the person that you resonate with most in Taken King. Like mm-hmm. we said, he saved Destiny. You know, he was the guy who came and brought that storyline and that humor and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So to actually see him in this moment of peril, there's nobody else to see.
But you also get to see him do some really cool stuff that we've never seen before.
He's doing the homage to some movies there. I'm sure.
Yep. He has the moment with his horn.
The moment with the horn, which that was super cool at the very end. He's like, and I was not sure what he was doing for a second there, and I was like, oh, okay, well, of course.
Yeah, that's a nice little moment. That
little touch. But so talk about the moment where you guys decided you're going to actually, stick with this. Which I mean, again, Dee just said, and I asked him on the live show. Cade is dead.
He is. And we were talking before we recorded, where you were like, I don't know. And I was like, I do.
I still have hope.
I know. Hopefully you just hope for a great story. And then the world's going to take you to different places that you maybe never expected. And then there'll be new characters that you love. Like, pretty excited to see what you think of the spider, for instance, is coming in Forsaken. And so there's a bunch of newness that's coming. And a lot of that was born out of, hey, what's the best idea we have right now? Let's do that. And we're going to figure out how to make that work really well. So, yes, he is dead. But one of the reasons we've been really open about that is that it is going to kick off this whole story that you don't know where it's going to go. And it's going to take you... you're going to learn about Uldren. You're going to go to the Dreaming City. You're going to learn about the Awoken in a way you haven't before. So it opens up all these different things that we don't think we would have been able to earn, for lack of a better word, without doing something like this. And also... Destiny is a living world, and so to not really embrace that and use it would be a shame, I think. And so just the fact that we're having this conversation to me means that I feel really good about the fact that we made this decision, because it's going to usher in new characters that we love and allow, for instance, Petra. Petra's, fantastic in this game.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole new kind of layer that we're getting to see.
Well, so now you mentioned new characters. That's something that I think people have been speculating a lot. Who replaces Cade in the tower? There needs to be a new...
You're going to see what happens in the game. I don't want to give you everything.
No, that's fine.
But we did ask ourselves, once we committed to having Cade die, not just what does that mean for, the logistics of, who gives treasure maps out or whatever, but those things, too. You had to solve those problems. But we also thought, well, what does Korra think of this? They've been a team for a long time. They're a fire team.
Yeah.
If you lose one of your fire team, what does that do to you?
The dynamic's a little bit different.
What does that change? How does Korra react? What's Zavala do? How does that change their relationship? And that was that's interesting. And so you're going to learn about all those things. And, for the moment, what happens if the Hunters don't have a Vanguard?
Yeah.
We're gonna play with that a little bit.
That's cool. So talking about some of the things that you're doing in Forsaken now, you mentioned, obviously, collections.
Yeah.
Very big deal. Is there anything that's new that's coming out that you might be able to give, the Fireteam Chat fans or the Agent fans? A little exclusive, maybe.
A little exclusive. Well, one thing, if anyone here has talked to me, they understand how passionate I am about the lore in the game. And one thing that we've talked about a bit, but I just don't think people quite understand, is the lore objects and the Triumphs page, where you are going to be able to collect short stories, and there's objects in the world. And so that is something that is not only coming to Tangled Shore and Dreaming City, but there's also going to be some items that you're going to be able to find, say, on EDZ. And so all players of Destiny 2 are going to be able to participate in finding these short stories. And there's more of them on the Tangled Shore and the Dreaming City that fill in gaps of different storytelling moments of, like, hey, what, where was Aldrin, you know, between where we last saw him in the meme and and where he is at the beginning of the game. And so there's a bunch of things like that 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 I think players are going to be really, really excited about and we've really committed to.
That's awesome.
That's something that personally I'm pretty passionate about. And that's a big one for me.
I think, and again, if you think back to the launch of Destiny 2, there's a lot of things that we wanted to explore and they were there for us when we found them. They weren't trackable.
Yeah, like the scannables.
The scannables. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk a little bit about maybe how you're changing that this time around?
So if you remember in Destiny 2, if you got near an object that you could scan, the ghost would have a little alert and a little sound effect. You could go up to it and it would give you a little piece of lore. But as you mentioned, it wasn't something you could go read or track in your UI. I think there's some emblems that track them per destination. So we wanted to build off of that to something that is more about a thematic object that is related to, say, Aldrin and tells a story about that you can go find. And also, maybe when you kill a boss, it's going to open up and you're going to get a little toast, which is what we call the notifications at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, nice.
A little logo, and you can go and read that in the UI. And so now you are going to be able to track all those things. There's even a title associated with capturing all of them.
Cool.
Players we think are going to go through and go nuts on that. And titles coming out of the triumphs, coming out of the finding the lore objects, or that's a whole thing that people are going to pursue. That's not just power. Now, you know, one of the things is you don't want it to just be just about the power number. You want it to be other cool pursuits that can differentiate. So if you have a title floating over your head, I'm going
to
notice that.
Be there.
You really earned it. Yep, absolutely.
Nice. Now, things like that in PvP maps maybe as well too, or just mostly
I don't want to tell you where they are all yet.
Okay.
But there's a fair number of objects all over the place.
Okay, nice. Now I was wondering also too, we were talking about a bit about Gambit and these other game modes that are coming. Trials getting a rework. What does that entail, or can you tell me a little bit about why you guys are doing that?
Well, I can tell you that power is going to matter in Trials when it comes back, but that it's taking a hiatus because we want to go in there and do some things with it to rework it, and so for season 4 it's gonna be off, but it'll be back and power will matter, and we'll have more to talk about that as we get closer to that.
Well, I'm excited for that to come back as a rework. I mean,
you have Gambit in the meme. You're gonna be playing so much Gambit that
Gambit. We'll be excited about playing Gambit. So for me, I think
you played the new map, right?
Played the new map.
What'd you think?
Really enjoyed it.
What was your combatant race?
So I think they were Fallen.
Okay.
Yeah, but the problem is, this is my second or third time playing Gambit, and I played as a Titan every single time. I played as a Titan again. I still got to play as a Hunter.
Well, I see. So you have this, like, you've probably played Gambit more than anyone, because you played at E3, you played at Guardian Con, you played here.
I didn't play Guardian Con.
I
watched it, yeah. Okay. So I've probably played about 4 or 5 matches.
That's more than most people.
And it is, and we played the one epic match against the Bungie team.
I heard about that. I wasn't there
Dylan
for that.
Dylan signed me really good, so it's like I have to maybe give him a moment where we challenge each other again sometime.
Perhaps.
We're really excited about all these things for a second. Anything else that you want to talk about maybe that you guys are excited about?
Well, there's a lot.
What?
But I'm not allowed. I'm being
like
leered at.
Days.
He just winked at me. I don't know. It's coming so soon. We've shared a lot. I think one thing I'll say is that you've seen a bunch about Cade's moment, but there's actually more. So that whole sequence is really interesting and jumps, does some nonlinear storytelling, and there's more. So you might think you've seen all of it, but there's still a lot more to learn and to experience when the game comes out. I'm trying to decide if we've said when the raid is out by now, but we have not. He shakes his head.
I don't think so.
He shakes his head.
But if you would like to.
Well, it sounds like I can't. But I was trying to decide when this came out. This is great.
I mean, there's a bunch more, obviously, that we'd like to talk about. But
there is.
We're excited to keep eyes on everything leading up to the release.
I can't wait to listen to the episode when you guys talk through it.
We'll be excited to have it on there. Last question. This is probably the hardest question, I think, that I can ask you.
Yeah.
What is your eyeliner strategy?
Oh, you know my Twitter. Do you really want to hear about this?
I want to know the backstory for this pinned tweet that you've had up there for the better part of...
I'll have it forever.
I think, yeah?
Okay. There was... So in my previous life, I did jobs much like you, and okay. I interviewed people. So I worked for the... No one cares. Why am I doing...
No,
they're not going to use this.
I've seen it, Scott, on your pinned
profile. All
right, well,
when I worked at the Supersonics, which is a basketball team that doesn't exist anymore because I'm old.
Oh, that's right, they transition.
Yes. I used to do video stuff, and I did some skits. I wrote like skits for like the mascot and whatever. And they came up to me and said, "Do you want to interview all the cheerleaders?" And I was 22, and I said, "Yes."
Okay.
I said, "I would love to interview the cheerleaders, and I'd get to hang out with them or something like that." I must have been like 22.
Okay.
And so we were interviewing the girls, and I don't know how to talk to pretty girls, and so I went in and I was just trying to, I don't know anything, they were putting on makeup,
yeah,
and I was like going in to interview them, and I said there was a bunch of stupid things I said, but one of the things that I thought was really funny is I said, "What are you doing? You're putting on eyeliner? What's your eyeliner strategy?" And this woman who's just beautiful and like a great dancer just looked at me like,
"Do you have an eyeliner strategy?"
Yeah, and she's like, "What are you? Who is this person? Like, why is he allowed here? What's going on?" And
the look she gives you, she's like, No.
Well, she's used to talking to like men, and then whatever I was.
So you can't have those questions where you get one word answers.
No, I know. No, well, but to be fair, I guess I shouldn't have said, "Do you have it?" Should have said, "What is
what
your?"
Is? Yeah, what is? Said, "What is your?"
Now I would strategy. Do, and now as an old man, I would do that. So the story behind that.
Now we know.
No one cares. So you're never going to use this.
This is great. This is really good. This is really good. Anyways, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Looking forward to Forsaken. It's coming out September 4th. For all things Destiny related, make sure you keep it locked to IGN as well as our show Fireteam Chat on youtube.com/Fireteam Chat. Thank you.
Thanks.
That was so nice of those guys. Thank you so much, Scott, and everybody, the Bungie team and Activision team, for making this work.
Yeah.
It was a pretty hectic day.
Yeah.
But that is excellent. Some in-game lore in-game revitalization of the Grimoire system.
Yes.
You know, kind of the way we always wanted it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the thing. There's a lot of things in Destiny that you want to acquire. Very much is a collection game. You know, even though you want to be able to have all the things in Destiny, sometimes you may not be able to get them, but at least I think what they're leaning into now is, you know, you can find out where these things are. There's lore attached to them, and you can go back and acquire them if you get a chance to.
So. Excellent. Well, hey, thank you, CJ, for joining me on set. Thanks, for man. A mini Fireteam chat.
That's
at
right.
Gamescom 2018. You want to do the outro?
I mean,
Fran's
where's,
not here to
where's
mess
Fran?
It up.
I mean,
Fran's
like,
not here to mess
it's
it
gonna,
up.
Like, appear.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.